And I wonder what kind of week you're having, whether you've had a peaceful week, whether your children have been behaving. I wonder what your idea of a peaceful day is, whether it's a day maybe sitting on a beach somewhere, or a day walking in the country, or maybe just a day relaxing in the garden. But the truth is, for some of us, maybe we're having quite a stressful time. And this whole COVID thing is really causing us a great deal of stress. There was a survey done in America in 2018, and they surveyed 4,500 people. And 74% of those people said they felt stressed or overwhelmed and unable to cope. This was pre-COVID. And of those people, half of them felt depressed, 60% felt anxious, and 30% of them actually felt suicidal. Now, that's not a very good way to start a sermon, is it? Probably depressing you straight away. But maybe we have, some of us have those feelings of anxiety, and it's affecting our sleep. Maybe it's affecting our eating habits. Maybe we eat too much, or maybe we're eating too little. But stress is a very powerful thing and probably affects all of us. And maybe for some of us, it is really affecting us badly. But today I want to bring some hope. We started a new series, which is all about the names of God. And today we're going to look at a name of God we find in the Old Testament, and it's Jehovah Shalom. Now, the word Shalom actually is translated in the Bible. It's clearly just translated the word peace. But actually, when the Jews talked about Shalom and they would greet each other and say Shalom, and when they said goodbye to one another, they would say Shalom. But it's a sense of well-being, of wholeness, of harmony and tranquility. And for the Jews, Shalom was an important concept. And in the Old Testament, we find the words Jehovah Shalom. But actually, we only find those two words put together once. And we find them in a situation that was actually extremely stressful. It's found in Judges chapter 6, and it's the story of Gideon. I'm just going to read you a few verses from Judges chapter 6. It says this: when Gideon realized it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Our sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace. Do not be afraid, you are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord and there called it, "The Lord is Peace." Today, it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezerites. That's right, that's the word, Abiezerites. And here we see Gideon suddenly meeting the angel of the Lord. And many people believe, many theologians would believe, then actually this is Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ, coming to Gideon. We see a similar situation in Genesis 18, but it says the angel of the Lord came to Abraham. And he says to Gideon, "Peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die." And what we see as a result of that, Gideon builds an altar and he calls it Jehovah Shalom. Now, the background to the story is one that is far from peaceful. So if you would go back to Judges chapter 6, verse 1, we find that the Israelites are in very, very bad place. It says this: again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. I always think that the book of Judges is a bit like the okey-cokey of spirituality. Because the Jews were in with God, and the next minute they were out with God. And it was this constant toing and froing, being in a great place and knowing the blessing of God, and then finding themselves sinning and falling away from their faith. And everything starts to go wrong. And we see that the Midianites have invaded the land. The Midianites were Bedouin people, and for 7 years they subjected the Israelites to some terrible things. So much so that the Israelites had to run and literally hide and live in the caves and mountains. Whenever they planted anything, the Midianites would come along and either destroy it or steal it. They were killing their livestock. And so basically it says that they ravaged the land and the Israelites were really under the thumb of these people. These people were ruthless. And so what they do is what we all do when things are going wrong, we call out to God. And they prayed. And they prayed. And it's interesting that God does respond. So we see that God sent them a prophet. And the prophet said this in verse 7. When the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says." And you think it's going to be something positive. And he says this, "I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt, from the hand of your oppressors. I drove them before you and gave you their land. I said to you, 'I am the Lord. Do not worship the God of the Amorites in whose land you live.' But you have not listened to me." And so they were getting, if you like, they were getting their just desserts. They had fallen away from God. And God was allowing them to be kind of come under the punishment of the Midianites. But you see, God doesn't just leave us there. God wanted to bring these people back to himself. And so God had a solution. And God's solution was to send a person, to send a man to fight for the Israelites. And if you look at verse 11, God's solution is this. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak at Ophrah that belongs to Joash, the Abiezrite, where his son was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." So here we meet Gideon. And we see that Gideon is actually threshing wheat in a wine press. In fact, what he was doing, he was hiding from the Midianites. See, when you'd normally thresh wheat, you'd go outside and you would kind of thresh it and you would do it in an open place and the wind would come and blow the chaff away. But he finds himself in a wine press, which was basically a hole in the ground, and he was hiding, beating the wheat with a stick just to extract the grain. And so the angel of the Lord comes to this man who is a man, the most unlikely man you would choose, because he was a man who had his doubts, who was afraid. Here is God coming to him, saying, "You are going to do something for me." And I think it's really interesting, isn't it, that here we have this man who's so fearful. And God says to him at the end of, towards the end of the chapter, he says, you know, "God is my peace." And yet here we find him so fearful. So how do we go from being fearful to knowing the peace of God? And so that's what we're going to look at, because what we want to know for ourselves, isn't it, that in our difficult times, how do we know the peace of God? Because we look at the situation and it's not good. We wonder if there is a way out. We wonder what's going to happen in the future. Here we have a man who was in a dire place, and yet later on he could just say, "God is my peace." So I want to say there are three things that God says to Gideon, and we find them all in this chapter, that can give us courage in this time of difficulty. The first thing the angel of the Lord says, and this is found in verse 12, the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. He said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Interesting that Gideon has kind of had a conversation, or is going to have a conversation with the angel, and kind of says, "Well, if God is with us, why are things so bad?" And they have that conversation. And, you know, "You are the God who's kind of got us out of Egypt. Why are things so bad?" And it's very interesting, actually, that here we have Gideon saying to God, "Well, where is God?" And in fact, God was stood right in front of him. Because what theologians believe is that this isn't just an angel, this is actually Jesus. And so when he says, "Where is God?" the answer is, "Well, actually, I'm right in front of you." And I find that quite fascinating, that he was missing the fact that God was there with him. And the angel of the Lord, God says to him, don't be afraid because I am with you. And interesting, isn't it? He actually calls him the mighty warrior. You see, God's perception of us is maybe different to what our perception is of ourselves. That maybe God sees more in us than we see in ourselves. But I've been kind of doing a number of studies. I've spoken a number of times kind of online. And each time I've come back to the fact that in the presence of difficulties, we find the presence of God. So we see that when Jesus was in the boat with his disciples, he stood up and calmed the storm. When we looked at Jairus' daughter had died, but there in the midst of that house was Jesus. When the man with the possessed son brought him to Jesus, he was healed because Jesus was there. And I believe that peace really comes when we know and experience the presence of God. And I think that's an important lesson for us today, that we have not been abandoned, because that's exactly how Gideon felt. But God was with him. And we may feel, where is God? And the truth is, God is with us. One of the stories I love in the New Testament is on how the disciples kind of all ran when Jesus was crucified, and they kind of gathered in an upper room, and they were afraid and they didn't know what the future held. And they'd been told that Jesus was alive, but for some of them, they didn't believe it. And there in John chapter 20, Jesus turns up, and the first thing he says to them is, peace be with you. Peace be with you. And then he says it again in verse 21, peace be with you. As the Father sends me, I am sending you. And then in difficulties we face at this time, we need to realize that God is with us. God is with us. The second thing that we see the angels of the Lord say to Gideon is found in verse 14. It says, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Go in the strength you have and save Israel. You know, this was probably the last thing that Gideon was expecting, because straight away he comes up with a few excuses. He says, excuse me, kind of Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. And what he's really saying is, actually, you know, you've picked the wrong person here. I'm the smallest member of my family. My tribe isn't great. And, you know, you expected me to save a nation. You see, God believed in him, and God was saying to him, actually, if you go, I will give you the strength you need. You just need the strength to get up and get out of here and do what you're told, and I will do the rest. I will give you the strength that you need. You see, peace came to Gideon because God gave him the strength that he needed. He would not be on his own because God was going to be with him, and God would strengthen him. God would give him the power that he needed to take on the Midianites and defeat them. I wonder how strong you feel at this time. Some of us, we're missing going to the gym and, you know, working out at home. But I wonder if you are one of these people who gets on a machine and works out how far you can go, or you're picking up weights and you kind of got targets and, this is how much I want to lift. These are how many reps I want to do. If I was to ask you mentally how strong you feel at the moment, 1 is very weak and 10 is quite, you know, I'm okay. I'm kind of feeling strong mentally. I wonder what your number would be. How about emotionally? What do you feel at this time? Are you feeling strong, or are you kind of feeling weak and you know, maybe starting to cry? How about spiritually? Has this been a time where you've grown spiritual muscles and you're feeling close to God? You see, when we are weak, it's then we have those fears. And fears and doubts invade our lives. And we do need the strength of God. And the great thing is that God promises us his strength. Both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see that God gives us strength. Verse I've kind of found quite comforting is found in Isaiah 41, verse 10. It says, "Do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God." Again, the presence of God. But then he goes on to say, "I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." It's the promise of God to give us the strength we need. And in the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, it says that actually we've been strengthened with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that same power raised Jesus from the dead. So God's promise to us is that whatever trial we may face, and trials have come and challenges are there before us, God can give us his strength. God will come through for us. You know, God has chosen you to do a number of things. Maybe God has chosen you to run a business. He'll give you the strength to do that. Maybe God has chosen you to serve in different ways. God will give you the strength you need. Maybe God has chosen you and placed you in the road where you live for a purpose. God will give you the strength you need. The strength you need to care and look after your family, to provide your family. It says in Philippians 4, verse 13, "I can do everything through God who strengthens me." We kind of hear a lot of messages at the moment about, you know, talk to other people, you know, be positive about things. And, you know, a lot of it is about calling on our resources that we have as individuals, the resources we have emotionally. And it says, you know, be strong. But actually what Paul says is, "I can do everything, not because I am strong, but because I believe in someone who is so much stronger. I believe in God because God has the resources I need." I was thinking what it's like to go to a supermarket. I've been to a supermarket for months. Maybe you haven't either. Just, you know, getting ready, what it's like to shop. But you see, when you go to a supermarket, you walk in and the shelves, and they hopefully are these days, I don't know, they weren't for a while, but they're full of resources, aren't they? You know, whatever you need is there, you pick it up, you put it in your trolley. And I was thinking, do you know what? If you come to my house, we've got a fridge that's quite full. But actually, it's quite limited when you compare it to a supermarket. And maybe we think about our own lives, that actually the resources we have, well, we're okay. But when we think about the resources God has, there is so much in God and through God that we can do. Paul says, "I can do everything." And so let's take the resources God is offering. Let's take those things and let's use them. And Gideon was there. God said to him, "I will strengthen you. I'm going to be with you and I'm going to strengthen you." The third thing that God said to Gideon was this, that he was going to give him the victory. And it says in verse 16, "The Lord answered, I will be with you and you will strike down all the Midianites together." God promised him victory. And that's why he had peace, because through God, he was going to win. Now, that must have been a hard thing to believe, because the Midianites were incredibly strong. They were Bedouin people. They had camels and, you know, thousands and thousands of camels. And when they attacked at great speed. And they were ruthless. And the Israelites had nothing compared to what the Midianites had. It's reckoned there were probably about 120,000 of them living in the land. Here were the Midianites, almost an undefeatable force. And God says to Gideon, "You will defeat them." And you can read the story for yourself. It's found in chapter 7. And Gideon starts with a good number of people. He had about 34,000 men, I think. And, you know, that's like 4-1. And then, you know, God said, "You got too many, you got too many." And he ended up with 300. I say, read it for yourself. 300 against 120,000, which is like 400-1. But God promised him a victory. He said, "You are a mighty warrior. You will win." And that's why Gideon knew peace, because God had promised to bring him through, that there would be a victory and it would be his. And I think it's important that we realize that God will and can bring us through these times. And maybe we are struggling, maybe we're having all kinds of problems, but God is with us, God can strengthen us, and God can bring us through. You know, much of the New Testament, the letters in the New Testament are written to the church when they were facing persecution. They were really suffering. And Peter writes letters of encouragement, and so does John. John wrote three letters, and in the first one, in chapter 4, he says this: "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." And a bit later on in the same chapter, he talks again about overcoming. And you know, it was John's belief that because the Spirit of God was in the people of God, that they could overcome. And I think that's an important word for us today, that we will overcome what comes our way because of the power and the presence of God. God said to Gideon, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." And in the battle we face, whether it's a mental battle, an emotional battle, a spiritual battle, we will have the victory through Christ. I want you to be encouraged today that we can come through. Paul wrote in the book of Romans, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." We will overcome. We will conquer with the power of God in us. So Gideon, he knew great peace, even before he walked out on the battlefield, even living amongst the Midianites who were crushing the people of Israel. He knew the peace of God. And that promise is for us as well, that we too can know the promise of God in our day. Jesus spoke to his disciples on the night he was betrayed. He sat down, had dinner with them, and he taught them a number of things. And this is the words he spoke before he went out into the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." These are very powerful words, aren't they? Words that we need to take deep into our soul, that we might know the peace of God. It's the promise of God, and God is true to his promises. It says in Philippians 4, verse 7, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And again, Paul is saying, there is a peace to be had. There's a peace to be received. It is yours. It will guard your heart and your mind. I wonder if you've taken your medication today. If you're a young person, you probably think, don't need medication. When you get to a certain age, we seem to be taking pills all day long, don't we? But you see, we need to take our medication to keep us healthy. And I feel this is almost like God's medication for us today. That in the face of difficulty, God says, this is what I'm going to give you. You just need to take it. You need to take it on board. You need to allow these words and these promises to do you good, to give you strength. And what we're going to do now is we are going to pray God's peace over our lives. We're going to pray God's peace over our families. We're going to pray God's peace for today, but also for our future, that it might guard our hearts and minds. Gideon, in living in the midst of dark times, knew God's peace. He raised an altar to say, "Jehovah Shalom, this is my God. He has given me peace today." And that is my prayer, that God would give each of us peace, not just today, but in the days ahead. whatever may happen. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we thank you for the story of Gideon. We thank you that you chose a man who was weak and you did remarkable things through him. We thank you, Father, that you promised that you would be with him, that you would strengthen him, and that through him there would be a victory for the whole nation. And Lord, today we take those things on board for our own lives. Father, we pray today that each of us would know your presence. We would experience it within our hearts, within our homes. We would feel your love and your peace and your joy deep within us. We pray now, Father, that we would know your strength. Lord, maybe we feel weak today, weak in so many ways. We ask for your strength. And Lord, today, we are worried about the future. We do not know what is coming, but we look to you. We ask that you would give us a victory in our lives, that we would overcome, that we would conquer the things that we face and the difficult circumstances we have. We ask today that your Holy Spirit would just bring your peace down into our lives, that he would fill our homes with the very peace of God, that you would pour peace into our concerns about our work and maybe our finances. We pray that your peace would be upon us for our future. Father God, we pray now for your peace to come. Let's just take a moment, shall we, where we give to God the things that concern us, and we literally hand them over one at a time. And let's take back the peace of God. Let's pull that into our lives. Father God, I pray now in Jesus' mighty name for every person who is online today. I pray now that you would grant them your peace. I pray for each family, Lord. May your peace be upon them. May your face shine upon them. Lord, I pray for our community. May there be the peace of God resting upon those who live around us. Father, we pray for your presence, for your strength. May we see your victory in our lives. And we ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.